Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF, your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida. And for those of you that are listening by computer anywhere in the United States, anywhere in the world, and those of you that have downloaded this teaching that is live here on the radio, but it's coming to you from our website, we're so glad that you have joined with us today to gather around the Word of God. We bring our teachings from the Bible, God's book, the most controversial, the most fought, dissected, sometimes demonized book. People are trying to attribute so many errors to the book that God has preserved perfectly, and it has survived every storm, every onslaught, because it's God's holy word, and He wants us to have a clear compass to let us know what road we're on and to make sure we're on the right road. Praise God. And He's preserved His word to give us the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad today, never been more satisfied in my calling to preach the gospel after over 38 years of preaching, 37 pastoring right here in Tampa. I'm telling you, I am fired up today. Hallelujah. Amen. Time has taken its toll in areas of my body, but it sure hasn't affected my spirit and my soul today. And we're just excited about praying and interceding and seeing God move and seeing people delivered and set free. And if you want to hear why we're so excited, you stay tuned to this broadcast today. Amen. In just a few moments, we're going to be talking to you on the subject of interceding for the unsaved. Interceding for the unsaved. If you're a Christian today, this is vitally important to you, your family, your loved ones, especially friends and people that don't know Jesus as their Savior. And not only in your immediate family circle and circle of friends, but people you have never met and maybe you will never meet until we all get to heaven. And you'll see the fruit of intercessory prayer for the lost. Praise God. Amen. You stay tuned today. And if you're not a Christian today, would you be our special guest? Something has caused you to be listening to the good Christian music that has just been playing. And now we want you to hear the reason for the hope, the confidence, the optimism, even in the face of these last day circumstances that the world is in, and all the things that can befall us as living in faulty bodies in a fallen world. But God has brought a deliverer on the scene that gives us a hope beyond this world. Praise God. And help in this world. So please stay tuned and hear the reason for all of those songs of faith and joy and peace and power and confidence. And it's none other than the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ today. Amen. Would you do that? And if you'd like to visit our website, I'm going to give you once again how to get there. Just Google it. Find a big search engine like Google, and I recommend Google because it's so comprehensive. If you are by computer, you have a computer, type in THCOG. It will take you to our homepage. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus there to be downloaded. You can download it through podcast to any iPod MP3 device, and we just welcome you to come. There are sermons that span the years back down through time, and timely messages from the Word of God taped live in our services, so they're available to you. By the way, there is no charge, no strings attached. God has just been very gracious to us. God has provided in such a way that you could hear the gospel the way He intended you to hear it, and that is with a desire to be a blessing to you, with no other design, no other agenda. And you will find that to be true if you come and visit us. Amen. So we invite you to come and pray for us. You that are steady listeners or frequent listeners of this broadcast, would you continue to pray for us that we can reach more and more and more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now, I want to tell you something else, too. You pray for that hometown radio station right there in Madison that carries the gospel in song and in word and carries good country music, good family-friendly stuff that you can listen to with your children. Praise God. Amen. I've heard some stuff that I won't even go there, but this is family-friendly. You don't have to be afraid. Got a great station. Pray for the staff of this radio station. And listen, I know how much it means to hear from someone that what you're doing is a blessing. And if you drop a line there in Madison, North Florida to WMAF, drop them a postcard, pick up the phone, give them a call. Praise God. Let them know that you appreciate that station that is such a blessing to so many people. Would you do that? I know it would bless them there. All right. Having said all of that, let's get into the Word of God today and find out the reason. The reason I'm excited today and the reason there's still a fire in my heart is because I know that God has made every born-again believer a king and a priest, or literally a kingdom of priests, as we've stated scripturally, biblically, no questioning that God has made us kings and priests through Jesus Christ unto Him. And there is a particular, peculiar ministry that He has called us to, and the highest order of that ministry is the ministry of intercession for the unsaved, praying that men and women, boys and girls, will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. This is the highest calling of the New Covenant believer in prayer, is to pray to God and for our loved ones, our friends, and for our community and our nation, and pray for people we have never met, and as I said, never will meet, till we get to heaven, many of them. Amen. I fully expect someone to come running down Glory Avenue on that street of solid, transparent gold. Amen. And say, "Preacher, I'm glad that you didn't give up. I'm glad you didn't give in. I'm glad you got a vision bigger than your ability, and your outreach reached all the way to where I was to hear the gospel, and God reached down and touched me, and I'm here because you and others like you were faithful to your calling, not only to preach the gospel, but to pray and intercede that it would find its target in the human heart." Praise God. Amen. So I want to read a scripture today to kind of back up and pick it up to put everything in context. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Listen, Paul said, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all those that are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I want to read that again, because this is where the fire in my soul is coming from. I know God's heart toward you today. Amen. If you're not a Christian today, I know the passion of God's heart is set toward you today. You are the target of His intense love and desire to save you, seal you, and make sure that heaven is your destination when you leave this world. Amen. Who will have all men? You say, "Preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know." Listen, I'm not interested in where you've been. My concern is, where are you going? And God's concern is, where are you going? He knows where you've been, and He loves you, and He calls you to salvation today. And He calls Christians like me and tens of thousands of others to pray for you. You say, by name, I don't know your name, but I know there are people that need Christ in my world, in my generation. And when I pray for people in my world, my generation, you are included today, because God's heart is to touch every life, that none be lost. It's not His will, the Bible said, that any perish, but that all have eternal life. Knowing God's passionate desire to save the lost, His great love wherewith Christ has loved us, I have a fire in my soul to see people come to know Jesus as their Savior. As one evangelist put it, we need to plunder hell so we can populate heaven. And intercession is the beginning of that, because, friend of mine, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise God. Amen. And we want to see some strongholds come down and some people set free today. Hallelujah. Make no mistake about it. God loves you today with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness, He draws. I'm gonna speak the word of God and give instructions to those who are going to pray, but God is going to do the drawing today. Hallelujah. Listen, the first principle we talked about last week in praying for people who don't know Christ as their Savior is that the lost are loved by God. Amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, John 3:16, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. Praise God. The second principle is, number one, is the lost are loved by God. God loves you. Make no mistake about that. If He didn't love you, He wouldn't have sent His Son to die for your sins. Christ's mission was a mission of redemptive love, and we as sinners were the object of that love. Jesus said, the well don't need a physician. Amen. In other words, I'm not coming to save the righteous, He said in another instance, but I've come to call the sinner or the unrighteous to repentance so that we can be saved and forgiven. Amen. But the lost are loved by God, but the lost are also blinded by Satan. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan doesn't want you to see what God has done in and through Jesus Christ for you. It's really two great things. The devil trying to blind a people who don't know Jesus, and maybe you today too. Number one is, amen, that you are lost. And if you're lost, the Bible said, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides upon him. That word wrath means justifiable anger. It's a forensic term. It has to do with executing justice, not God being mean or mad. It means that he's holy, therefore he's just. And he's justifiably angry at our sin, and he must judge us because of it. But because of his great love, that's the other thing the enemy doesn't want you to know, is just how deeply God loves you, and to what extent he has went to show that love for you and for me. He can't look over sin. He's a just and holy God. He can't be an unjust judge. So he has to judge sin. So how does he love the sinner and find a way to save us from our sin without being an unjust judge? He judges our sin in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the enemy doesn't want you to see, is how wonderful it is to come to Jesus. He'll show you what you have to give up. He will never let you glimpse what you will gain. And He will never let you glimpse where sin will lead you for eternity. Jesus was astonished that people couldn't see this. He said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? See, if we really understood, if we really saw, if it was clear to us. I mean, you can nod your head and give mental assent, but let me tell you something. If you ever see the terrible state of the lost, the destiny of the soul that is not under the redemptive covering of Christ's blood and forgiven, you couldn't sleep at night. And it would be a good thing because you would come to Jesus. Because at the same time you would see the love of God and that He gave His Son and judged our sins in Him. Oh, I love that great scripture in the book of Isaiah. It's called the Gospel in the Old Testament. This great a prophetic scripture of Christ and what He would do to redeem fallen man. Verse 5 of Isaiah 53 said, He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, it goes on to say. But God hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Of us all, not just the Christians that have received Him. In other words, He's saying the price has been paid. The sin debt has been paid. And all you need to do is repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the sin is forgiven because God can be just. He can be a just judge and say that sin has been judged. It was judged in Jesus at the cross so that you and I could be forgiven. Oh, what a mighty gospel. What a great God and a gracious God. What a merciful Savior that Jesus is. Satan, through spiritual blindness, hides truth from man's lost condition and God's saving power. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost. The lost are blinded by Satan. And one of the things we pray in intercessory prayer is that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and at a preaching of the gospel, would let the scales fall from blinded eyes. Amen. And let the blind see. See, Jesus said He was anointed to set the captive free. This is all about the redemption of fallen man. This is about deliverance from sin's power and from Satan's strongholds and the consequence of sin. His entire anointing, when He went into the temple to begin His public ministry, He began to read of Himself prophetically out of the book of Isaiah. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free. He's anointed me to set at liberty those that are bruised. He's anointed me to open the eyes of the blind. When people hear the opening of the blind eye, they think of Zacchaeus or someone else in the Bible who was physically blind and Jesus gave them back their sight. But in the context of the prophecy concerning Him, more is referred to here than the physical healing of the blind. In fact, specifically, He's talking about this kind of blindness. Satan has blinded the minds of men. And Jesus said, I've come to illuminate. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that after you were illuminated as a Christian, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Why? Because now you see. And because you see what maybe your loved ones don't see. You see what your co-workers don't see. You see the awful judgment to come upon the lost who don't know Jesus as their Savior and must stand in and be judged for their own sins without a Redeemer. And I'm telling you, you also see what God is willing to do, and you're doubly motivated. Paul said, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, what an awful day it would be to stand before God with no covering to cancel our sin debt and have to pay that debt eternally. Listen to me, friend. Knowing the terror of the Lord, Paul said, we persuade men. There are people that you will work with every day if you're a Christian that have no idea. They don't even let their mind think about the judgment to come. But you see it. You know that they are lost. You know where they're headed. They're blinded. But you can see. You can pray for them with compassion and passion. And you also know something else that they don't see. You know how much God loves them. You know God's great passion is to save them. He loved them enough to give His Son. Jesus loved them enough to go to the cross. The Scripture said, all we like sheep have gone astray. The New Testament spins off of that and says, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. Amen. But God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Praise God. We have a great Savior in Jesus Christ today. Amen. And I believe while the gospel is preached, there's a mighty, illuminating power to open the eyes of the spiritually blinded. And we need to pray that the scales begin to fall off so that people might see. Hallelujah. Praise God that the gospel wouldn't be hid by the deceptive blinding power of the enemy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we bind the devil that is blinding the eyes of our loved ones, our co-workers, our friends, and people in our community and our world. We pray for spiritual revelation and illumination. I'll tell you, if you really saw the awful destiny of the lost, and if you comprehended, amen, the wonderful love of God and what God has provided through Jesus Christ for our salvation, I don't believe there would be a person on this planet that wouldn't run to the cross to be saved. There is no sin. I repeat, there is no sin worth your soul. Amen? And listen, people think if they have to give up their sin, it's going to leave a big empty spot. And they're going to be just a shell of a person if they don't have that sin to try to fill that hole in them. I got news for you today. Amen. The more when that sin is laid down, God fills that vacancy with His joy, His peace, His presence, His love, His power. Hallelujah. His provision, His hope. And there's nothing like that in all of this world. The old timers used to sing it, and they said it well in their song. They said, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. The Bible said that literally we can taste the power right here on this planet, right here in our present day. We can taste the power of the world to come. And the more I taste that power of the world to come, the love of God, the peace of God, the strength of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, the hungrier I get for Jesus to come, and the more I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Praise God. Amen. The lost are blinded by Satan. And in order to pray effectively for them, we need to pray that God, through the Holy Spirit, would cause those scales to fall off of those blinded eyes. Amen. Hallelujah. I saw the light is a great song that's been sung right here on this radio station. I saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. Praise God. Now I'm so happy. Hallelujah. It changes everything. The lost are blinded by Satan, and we need to pray for spiritual revelation and illumination. Amen. I want to stop right here just a minute before we go any further on this subject. Amen. Every time the gospel is preached, every time we share the testimony of Jesus, every time we just live it and walk it out, amen, the Holy Spirit is mightily at work. Amen. But we need to understand we're not trying to just intellectually convince someone to give mental assent or consent to the gospel. This is the mighty work of God. And that's why we need to saturate our preaching with prayer. I read a staggering statistic the other day. It convicted me to pray more. It convinced me that we need more prayer than we've ever had in terms of intercession, that we might see people come to know Jesus, see those captives set free, because those blind eyes become opened. Amen. Listen very carefully. It's about 10 minutes a week. The average minister, this is staggering, about 10 to 15 minutes a week. The combined prayer, personal prayer, I'm not talking about the professional prayers that you pray at particular events. I'm talking about the personal intercessions and supplications and just devotional prayers. The average minister spends less than 15 minutes a week. And no wonder that we're very, very good at preaching. We're good at homiletics and hermeneutics, and we're good at all of those things that bring the gospel forward, and we're eloquent, and we're intelligent, and we are educated, but we cannot see these mighty victories of men and women set free, truly converted, truly saved, become authentic Christians, unless we enter in to spiritual warfare for their souls. And warfare involves primarily praying in intercessory prayer. And we've been highly qualified and called to this high calling of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why they got deacons in the first place, that we might give ourselves to the preparation of our sermons, to the preaching of the word. Oh, the preaching's there, but it doesn't start with preaching. That we might give ourselves to prayer and the preaching of the word. You see, without saturating the preaching of the word with prayer, we're going to just get what our own human abilities can accomplish, and human abilities cannot open spiritually blinded eyes, cannot bind the one who blinds them. But I'm telling you, when we go to God in intercession for the lost, God, the Holy Spirit, begins to move mightily to open the eyes of the blind. And I'll tell you, when a man that was blind to his sinful condition cries out and calls out to Jesus because he sees there's an answer for my dilemma, there's an answer for me that will bring peace and joy and promise of life eternal with God. Hallelujah. Amen. That man don't want to sit in that prison house of sin anymore. That man wants to walk out that door and never look back and never go back. Oh, our time is gone. I don't know where it went, but it's gone. Praise God. Amen. Not that it's gone, but praise God. The Spirit's been so active today. It's just time. It's just skipped by. I want to use these last closing moments today to ask you personally, amen, if you've listened to this point and you don't know that you know that you know that Jesus is your Savior, I want to ask you to seal it in prayer right now. We've prayed over this broadcast. Our church is praying for you. Christians all around the world are praying for you. When they pray for the lost, if you're lost, they're praying for you. And right now, God is moving. And I believe in many hearts and lives, scales falling from your eyes. Ah, friend, don't put it off. Do it now while the Lord is near. Do it now while you're getting a glimpse of the glory of the gospel. Amen. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive my sin. I repent. I don't want to go on like I'm going. I want to be saved today. Come into my heart. Change me from the inside out. Seal me for heaven. Amen. Oh, pray that prayer right now, right where you are. And God is very near you. And He will come in and save your soul. Hallelujah. Amen. And today, if you're a Christian, pray. Join the ranks of all those around the world. God is calling to pray that we reap this mighty harvest. We love you. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.